Welcome to Mental Health 411. I am your host, Paloma Collins, and on today's episode, I have Ernesto Casillas, who is a two-time Emmy Award-winning makeup artist. I'm so excited to talk to him about mental health and his art. Welcome to Mental Health 411. Remember, Mental Health 411 is for entertainment and information purposes only. For professional help, always seek professional services. Hi, Ernie. How are you?
Hi, I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm doing great. I'm so excited to have you here today. Most of my friends know that I do not wear any makeup on a daily basis, including you. But today we're going to be talking makeup. We're going to be talking mental health. We're going to be talking about your narrative, how where you grew up, what you've been doing, your success, and we're going to be highlighting just everything that you've been doing for our community and just your craft. So let's get started.
All right, let's do it. I'm excited. Okay.
Me too. So tell us a little bit about what you've been doing. How? Let's start from the beginning. So
yeah,
tell us, how did you get inspired to become a makeup artist? And we'll go from there.
Sure. So I've always been a very creative person. And before I kind of delved into makeup, my main passion, like in high school, was photography. I really wanted to be a fashion and beauty photographer. And so I used to do my friends' makeups for the shoots. And I always loved makeup. You know, when I was younger, I used to go to Costco with my mom and see Kevin and Kwan's book, you know, making faces. And I was so like in awe. And so that's kind of how it started, was my curiosity for makeup, and I just love makeup. I just, once I decided to take the leap and pursue makeup more seriously is when my passion for it grew like 100 times.
I feel like when I can remember, I mean, I've known you for so many years, and I feel like you've always had this interest with colors and lighting.
Mm-hmm. And yeah.
Grew from there.
Yeah, when I met you, I was in college and I was studying fine art and photography. And it was then when I met you that I decided, like, oh, I don't know, man, like, I really love makeup, you know? And so it was like halfway through college when I decided, you know what, let's put photography a little bit in the corner.
Yes.
Let's do makeup. We like this. So. Yeah.
And you've been doing really well with it.
Yeah, thank you. I've been hustling since then.
You have. Every time you do my makeup, I just feel like I'm just another person. And so today we're going to try to duplicate that. I don't know if we will with my own hands. I'm not a makeup artist at all. But
well, you're cute.
Thank you.
You're cute. So we're going to do our best, and you're going to be cute regardless.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you so much. So while we're doing this, I want to know a little bit more about, like, tell me, so in high school, it's when you started understanding your craft and understanding what you wanted to do with it. So let's talk a little bit about how that came about in terms of friends, influences in school. Who did you relate to? Was it difficult for you to relate to other people at school? Because it was, you know, being an artist is sometimes difficult. And sometimes you're seen as like that outside kid that
we're very othered.
Right.
Yeah. I actually, you know, I had acquaintances in school, but I feel like I didn't have the type of friendships that I wanted. I definitely felt very different. And actually, I just did, I had one ex-girlfriend my freshman year in high school, and I did her wedding makeup yesterday.
Oh, and she was
And we were talking. She was talking about how the reason she started talking to me was because I used to eat lunch by myself in middle school. Uh-huh. And it's true. I couldn't relate to people. I didn't know how to socialize. And so I used to eat lunch by myself, really. Like, I didn't really have friends like that. So me relating to people, I felt like I was very nice and kind, but it was hard for me to cross the line from acquaintance into like close friends.
To friendship.
Yeah. Yeah, so that kind of continued all throughout high school. And I would say it got better towards the end of high school.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Do you think, I mean, it's difficult to be an artist. It's difficult to be that other kid. When did you begin to question yourself? When did you begin to say, you know, there's something else about me too that I think I'm dealing with, and this is who I am? How did you come to that realization?
I'm very young. I would say I was elementary school, like, I don't know, first, second, third grade. I already knew because I loved artistic things. I love creative things. I love femininity. I loved all of that since I was younger. Because I can remember being in first grade and we had a project making clay projects. I was making earrings and I had friends, my classmates didn't know how to, they were not very creative. So they would be like, hey, can you help me? And I was just making them earrings. So very early on, I knew that I was very different. I was very creative. And I wasn't like, you know, everyone else. And actually, I have this memory of, I want to say I was maybe eight. Maybe, yeah, I'm around eight. And I was with my cousin. And I think I told her, oh, I think I should have been born a girl. She's like, well, why do you say that? And I'm like, well, because I like things that girls like. And other kids are calling me these names. And she basically just like swatted it away. Like, no, no, you're not. Like, don't worry about it.
Mm-hmm.
So I've been knowing since I was very, very young that I'm different. That I was different in my surroundings.
Yeah. And so talking about that difference, how do you identify yourself?
I identify as a cis gay male. I like to use the word queer now, though. And I also identify as either Mexican-American or Chicanx or Latinx.
Mm-hmm.
Hispano también apply, so... Yeah.
Okay. So there's a little bit of a combination of so many things that this who you are as a person.
Yeah, absolutely. That's something I've been talking about with my friends lately.
Uh-huh.
I actually want not a podcast, but maybe something where I get my friends that are on the gender spectrum, sexuality, you know, we're queer and we're Chicanx, so there's a lot of ni de aquí, ni de allá. We're a combination of a lot of things.
Of a lot of things. I can
relate. And I'm that too. Yeah, of course.
I feel the same way. I feel like I'm not here nor there. Ni de aquí, ni de allá. So a little bit of everything.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, definitely when you relate and you grow up and you start connecting with people that have gone through that same journey and path, there's that like strong bond, right? But growing up, I can tell you that it's difficult. It's difficult to relate to others and also with our own families. You know, how did that go about in terms of your family? You know, this conversation is really to point out and to have conversations about sexuality and gender identity and mental health, right? And so all these issues that come about so that others that are younger than us and or our age or older can relate and say, hey, you know, I've been going through this and maybe have some sort of guidance, right? And so that being said, what would you say, or how did you relate to your family in terms of what you were going through? How did you help them through that path of understanding you?
Sure. So I feel like my brothers, you know, they're young. I feel like growing up, they were pretty understanding.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't feel like I had problems with my brothers. It was more so my parents and specifically my mother. But that's because she's more outspoken. So I got more of it from her.
Mm-hmm.
I couldn't quite relate to them because I felt very rejected. And so what I had to do was distance myself from them, you know? And because they were very outspoken about my sexuality, they worried about how others would see me or perceive me. Mm-hmm. So it was very, don't do that, don't act like that, your voice sounds feminine, like, no seas marica.
No te sientes so, así, no te muevas
yeah,
así. Yeah, all of that.
Because I was very flamboyant when I was like 4th, 5th grade. And that's when it got bad. And so for me, I realized that obviously they didn't understand, you know? And so in order to help them understand, I had to show them more of me, because I was already alienating myself and distancing myself. I'm like, wait, my mom thinks I'm a liar and I'm not, I don't lie. Maybe she thinks I'm hiding things. And it's true, I am hiding things from her because she's judging them. Mm-hmm. But let me show her that I'm fabulous, that I'm amazing, empathetic, kind individual. I just happen to be queer. And so, like right after high school is when I started bringing my friends around.
Mm-hmm.
Like I have my friend who's now known as Valentina. She's a very popular drag queen, but back then she was James. And James was always very flamboyant.
Mm-hmm.
But James was always very charismatic too. And all the references were like telenovela, Rocío Dúrcal, things that I know my mom would like. So I would start bringing my friend James to the house, my friend Shablangela, who both are very gender neutral.
Yes.
And fabulous. And I was like, I wanted my mom to get to know the queer community, my friends, to know that we're actually kind of cool. And it's not just what you see on Telemundo, where maybe we're only seen as transvestites or on drugs, you know, on talk shows, because there's no representation there. So that was my way of getting my parents to understand, was by introducing my world to them slowly.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
How, was it very helpful, and was she very open to it?
Yeah, it was slow, but I mean, we're here now. She's a fan of Valentina. I think she's into everything now. She sees the creativity that we have, the resilience that we have, the empathy that we have. And so I hope she's inspired by it, but they've come around, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. And also yeah. The success, that it's possible to be successful, to be queer, to be a lesbian,
yes.
and to have a career, right? I think that for many of our Latino parents, they have this fear. Mm-hmm. They already have a fear for their children, for us. As
immigrant parents.
Immigrant parents, marginalized community. And then you bring in other components, you know, so it's really a fear of rejection from the world as is. And then on top of, you know, it's like, encima de eso, you know, ¿por qué? Like, ¿por qué te pones más problemas? Kind of thing.
Porque right? Now you're queer, and now you want to be an artist, and now, like, why are you throwing everything away that we work so hard?
Yes.
So, I understand that, absolutely. They see it as I'm very othered,
mm-hmm.
and they're just trying to, in some ways, assimilate, you know, so that we can be successful. So I think, yeah, you're right. Now I'm at a point where I, in some ways, become a successful artist, and in my life, that maybe they don't have to worry anymore, and now they can embrace it more, because there's not as much fear there.
Definitely. Yeah. And one of the things, too, is that, you know, being so young and having that over you, like, you were able to navigate and very resilient, right, as is. I think mm-hmm. we're very, the Latino community, we're a very resilient community. Mm-hmm. And sometimes it's not a good thing, right? But for many reasons, we're resilient, generational mm-hmm. resiliency. And so you were so young and you had this thing over you and you were able to navigate through it and say to yourself, I'm going, I'm not giving up, right? I think that for some of some people, I can say that they give up on their families and they say, if they don't want me, they're rejecting me. Why do I keep trying? I'm just going to go on my way. But sometimes doing that brings upon other things in life that will lead you into other things that are not good, that will not lead you to success. I think family, especially in our community, it's so important. And we want our parents to love us. We want them to respect us. And we want to bring them along with us. right? It's like a beautiful thing to be able to share our path and our success with our parents and our family.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's definitely something that I'm proud of myself for having had, which was eternal optimism. Like, I know things are fucked up, but let me keep working at it. Let me keep pushing. Let me push through. Let me just keep going, and eventually I'll get to where I want to go. And but I can say, you know, I have had some privileges that afforded me that kind of mentality and thinking. Not everyone has that. So it is very hard, especially if you're like first generation immigrant here. And there's so much stacked against you already. It's so easy to want to give up. Yeah, I understand that. Very hard.
So let's not underplay your success. I am, you know, like everyone in your life, I'm so proud of you. And so tell us about a little bit about, you know, what's been going on and the success you've had. And I do want to mention, because you're not mentioning it. And so, and I want to see, like, hello, where is it? Queremos mirar. Like, if people want to see your Emmy.
So, I, you know, halfway through.
Two times? Those veces? Okay, go ahead.
No, yeah, so I can say, as of right now, I'm a celebrity makeup artist. And I have two Emmys under my belt. And I'm very proud of the type of clients that I work with, because I created a career for myself where I work with people of color, specifically women of color, Black women, that inspire me so much. You know, I work with the director of the head person of ABC. I work with Ava DuVernay. I work with Janet Mock, who's like a trans icon. I work with Eve, like a lot of women that to me are so inspiring. And my journey there, spent 10 years, I want to say.
Yes.
Yeah, less. You're right. Because I started maybe during or after college. And it's been like a long journey of just doing whatever it takes. You know, I can say that I work hard. I did a lot of things without pay. I put a lot of my time and energy into my career. I definitely sacrificed a lot in my 20s. To have the career that I want. And but it's that journey that inspired me to toward the direction I am now. The kind of clients I want to work with, the type of people I want to work with. Just all the people I was meeting and all these issues I was encountering, like colorism. You know, I work at MAC like 2 or 3 years, and I had women come in. And I will have to shade match them, right? But they will request a lighter foundation shade. That's when I was realizing, like, this is a big, big problem. And part of it is because a lot of these women or people in general, I should say, just don't embrace themselves, don't embrace their skin tone. And maybe that's because they haven't had anyone show them how to do it properly. So that's kind of a little bit about where I am in my career. Yeah.
So some word of advice for, you know, people out there who are listening and saying, wow, that's I can relate in so many levels. And I'm also an artist, and I want to be able to work, you know, in the field with artists, with other artists. What are some tips? What would you say are, and you know, I heard resiliency and kind of having an eye on your goal, like that path, right? And so that clear, maybe that clear path. I don't know. What is it?
So,
what advice?
Yeah, I had the privilege of having a mentor kind of early on. I met this makeup artist through this website called Model Mayhem. And so he was also a queer Latinx artist from Downey, which is like the next neighborhood over. So he was able to tell me about what to expect in this industry. And not a lot of people have that. But now we have social media and things like this podcast where I can tell you directly, like, it's going to be a lot of bullshit. It's going to be a lot of, you have to be resilient, meaning you're going to do a lot of things you don't want to do. It's going to be a lot of long hours. It's going to be a lot of jobs that lead nowhere. You know, jobs that promise exposure and you'll get to meet people. You just have to really want it. And you have to know what you're, what's, you have to know that it's going to be a bumpy ride. But you just have to have the passion for it. And I think specifically if you want to work with like celebrities, there's so much talent out there. There's a lot of people, especially now, that know how to do beautiful makeup. So what's going to set you, what's going to make you stand out? It's going to be you, your personality, and how you are around the clients. A lot of clients don't care if you're not the best makeup artist. They just want to feel comfortable around you. Mm-hmm. They want to feel that you're a good person, that they can be themselves around you, you know? And so, honestly, just be a good person and work hard, be resilient. That's mm-hmm. kind of like the main things is you just, I mean, I think for me it helped that I'm a queer person, that I have had to be resilient. It wasn't a choice. I had to learn how to push through things. So that came in handy in this career, because otherwise I would have given up a long time ago. Mm-hmm. You know, so.
So definitely yeah. that strength, that resiliency. And you know, one of the things I think that, like right now that you mentioned that you had a mentor, is that mm-hmm. I've been hearing that same concept from other people that I've been interviewing. And I feel that, including myself in my career, mentorship is so important. And that's one of the reasons why I also want to bring up these interviews and talk to people that are successful like yourself that are from the Latinx community, is that I want, if a person is not able to believe that they can reach out to someone like you or like myself, you know, completely different fields, but nevertheless successful in some sort of way, that they're able to say, wow, like just those small tips, or it pushed them a little bit more to understand and to know that they can become successful. And perfect example, here you are.
Yeah, I mean, you're doing amazing work for the community just by doing this. You're on this platform providing all this wisdom, you know, all this knowledge, all these tips that maybe people 10, 15 years ago might have not had access to. Mm-hmm. You know, because now, well, that's one of the great things about social media, is it's easier to reach out to people that are more like you. Mm-hmm. So we're much more connected. Mm-hmm. So that's one of the great things about it. Because I was fortunate enough that I had a mentor, but I didn't have social media on my side even then, because I found him through a website called Model Mayhem, mm-hmm. which is where industry professionals would kind of go. It was like Facebook.
Yes.
Yeah. So, I mean, I met him at a party, but I knew him through social media, mm-hmm. you know? So, yeah.
And talking about social media before we overlook it, where can people find you on social media?
So, I'm on Instagram under, just under Ernesto Casillas, which is just my full name. That's kind of the only thing I use at the moment. I do have Facebook, but I don't use it. Facebook is mostly like family. So on Instagram, Ernesto Casillas.
Okay, Instagram, Ernesto Casillas.
Yeah.
Got it. Okay.
For sure.
So let's get started with my makeup. Porque mírame cómo estoy.
Let's do it.
Okay. So I was super excited about this. Mm-hmm. And you told me, get a good lash. I did get a good lash, by the way. I think I did.
Yes.
Get a good lash. And you said, get a good lipstick. I was just excited to get new makeup.
Yeah.
No. How much makeup like I have.
Yes, I knew.
I just can't stop myself. But so I bought a couple of things, and I don't know. So I got a lot of lip glosses, and yeah. I got to admit.
Let's do it.
Okay.
Well, you know, I have fond memories of going over to your house, and you always had all these older MAC collection I have never in my life seen before. When they used to do like amazing collection, the packaging is out of this world.
Yes, so. I know. I love it. Like, I was like, okay, I'm not going to bring too much out, but I brought some stuff out. I have two cameras. That's okay. Why I keep looking over here and over here. I'm recording on both sides and both ends. And so, okay, I have my brushes ready. I think I have
Yeah, let's do it.
And then I got this, let me show. I got this. I'm not this Morph palette
because Morphe.
Is it Morphe? Okay, look, I'm so like out of like the concept of makeup, but I don't know. Are these good colors?
Yeah, they're amazing. Neutral, warms. Yeah, I love that palette.
It's called Bronze Goals for anyone okay. that wants to like get it. So I don't know, but this is super cute. And then I moisturize, and I just gotta.
I was gonna ask.
Like props to, I don't know if people can see this on this camera here, but it's like, it's called Blue Dawn Aromatherapy. It's like face cream.
And okay, I haven't heard of that. This.
It's like organic and women owned cream line that is mm-hmm. super fantastic. And everyone's always telling me, what do you put on your face? Like, you don't
have amazing skin.
Thank you.
You look the same.
This. Do I? Okay.
Yes.
I'll take it.
You do.
I'll take it because if I don't use that, I use this.
It's a very rich moisturizing cream. It's great for dry skin. Yes,
absolutely. Our moms live by this. Like, when you smell this, it's like, it smells like my mom.
Absolutely. If they didn't use ponds, maybe they had extra money for concha crema nacar.
I was going to bring that one out, too. I was like, okay, which one should I bring? But yes, so when it gets, like, windy like it is today, you know, that's what moms wear. And so I'm a mom, and I wear that, too. Okay, so where do we start? You said a good foundation. So I got a new foundation from MAC, and I don't know. It's, like, this
one. Yeah, I like – that's the classic Studio Fix. Yeah, we can start with foundation because I like to give it time to set. Into your skin? Yeah.
So let's start.
Let's do that.
I'm going to put my hair like this.
Yes.
Just so.
You're an influencer now.
And I have a mirror here. I'm not good at this. I want to just remind
you are.
All my friends, okay? Because I'm like, I'm not good at this. But okay, look, I got this little palette. Isn't it super cute?
That is super cute. I have never seen a heart shaped palette.
Yeah. I love it.
Yeah.
I use go ahead.
What kind of tool do you have to apply? Do you have a sponge or a brush? Maybe
fingers? Both. I have a sponge.
Okay.
And I have a brush that I usually use whenever I do put makeup on. Every day. Go ahead.
I like applying with the brush first so you get the most coverage out of the product. And then I go over with the sponge to blend it out.
So what kind of brush do you recommend? Because, like, I use, look at this thing. It's, like, really bad, but.
I use very similar, which is a dense kabuki brush.
Uh-huh.
Because it's soft and it gives me the most coverage.
Okay.
Yeah. So I like that first brush.
This is a good brush. The first one, right? So yeah. I just kind of, like, do this. Is that good?
Yes.
I have more.
See, with makeup, a good tip to know is to. You want to apply the makeup where you want the most coverage and then go from there. So I see you put it on your cheek. You might have a little redness on your cheek. So that's a good place to start.
Yeah.
And just blend it out.
I have a little like natural blush. Like everyone's like, always like, oh, do you have a
blush
on? And I'm like, no, I my skin.
No, that's great. I like that you start there and you're blending it out. That's perfect.
Is that good? Am I doing good?
Yeah. And I like this foundation because you don't have to set this one with powder if you don't want to. It sets pretty well.
So setting powder, I got this, like, I haven't really used it, but since I have you on here, voy a aprovechar, and I'm going to ask all kinds of questions. So I bought this setting powder, the milk one.
Okay.
And I didn't know what to get.
You said milk?
Milk, and I got the translucent, and then I also have the medium. I got both because...
Is it a loose powder?
Yeah, it's a loose powder.
Maybe we can bake a little bit.
Okay, so when you say bake for people that don't really do makeup, okay, is that good? I'm doing good, right?
Yeah, you're doing amazing, sweetie.
Thank you. So what do you mean by bake? I hear everyone say bake, and I'm like, what is this bake thing? Like, I don't know what that is.
So baking is when you use powder to do a couple things. You can use powder to... It kind of bakes your foundation. So if you're someone that's super oily, you want to put loose translucent powder in the areas where you might get shiny. because that gives the foundation time to really absorb the powder. So it makes it like super foolproof, you know?
Oh.
And then, yeah. And then another thing that baking does is it brightens. So let's say you already did your concealer and contour. You want your contour and your under eye to be even brighter, more defined. You would use that powder to cut your contour line and under your eye to brighten up even more.
Like because, this right here?
Yeah, because powders sometimes still have a little bit of pigment to them.
Okay. So when I'm putting on my liquid on, do I also do a little bit on the lip? I kind of tend to do that. I don't know why. Like, I feel like yes. I did something.
Some people like to do that because it gives them that illusion that you're erasing your lip like a blank canvas and you can repaint them however you want. You know? Yeah.
So that is that good?
That looks beautiful.
Okay.
Absolutely. We should probably give the foundation time to set. So maybe start on the eyes.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And then we'll come back to the skin after.
Okay, so we're going to be using the Morphe palette. Mm-hmm. Okay. Because like, I have other eyeshadows, but this one's really, I feel like this is a really good one for fall.
And that looks great.
Look at this.
Is that green?
This is
something. That the MAC Dazzle something eyeshadow?
This is, I like to, yes, it is a Dazzle shadow, but it's like, it's so pretty.
I have to tell you, my friend used this recently for a look, and I was admiring this exact color.
This one.
I need to pick up. Yes. It was like a green, sparkly.
Yes.
I already know.
Ernie, why are we always on the same
wavelength?
Yes, when it comes to color.
Can we use it?
Yes, we're going to use it. We're definitely
going to use it.
Okay, so what should I do?
So we're going to do a very simple eye that anyone can do. It's going to be very pretty. It's going to be two or three colors. So do you have a fluffy eyeshadow brush?
You tell me when I get to enough fluff.
That second one you're holding, can I see it? Yes, so that one in the middle. Let's use her.
This one's a good fluff, okay.
Yeah. And then we're going to dip into an eyeshadow that you would use as a bronzer, but like a warm medium brown color.
A warm medium. Okay, got it.
And just tap it in there a few times.
Tap. Do I blow?
Yeah, and then you can with a very, very light hand. You don't want to press against your skin. Very lightly tilt your head back. And then you're going to go in the middle back and forth like this. Very lightly. Yes. Beautiful. You just keep going back and forth until all that pigment on your brush is blended and on your eye. We call that the crease.
Wow. I don't think I've done this before. I kind of just go
really?
Like, not like my head like this. I just kind of like, okay.
Oh, yeah.
It's good. It feels much better. Because, like, I usually don't even know what I'm doing. Like, you know what I'm saying? I can't see it. And I keep going like this. And I'm like, oh, my God, why does it look like I have a black eye? Like, that's not cute. But this is right here. Tilt back.
And if you have a very soft touch, it'll be easier to blend. Because if you go in too hard with your brush, that pigment will adhere to the skin and not want to move. There you go. That's beautiful.
Ernie, you must do this, like, for all of us that need classes. I know that you did like a master class in Guadalajara.
I did.
And I was so tempted. I was like, Irene, I have to fly out to Guadalajara. But then she was like, no, you're crazy. Wait until he's over here. And like, oh my God, okay, fine. But tell us when you're going to have a master class in LA. Is it going to be soon after all this is over?
You know, I'm hoping I can do one next year. It's just going to be hard because I don't know what post COVID-19 world is going to look like, you know?
Yes.
So I'm hoping by next year it'll be fine. If not, maybe I can do online, you know, just demonstrate on my model and everyone can log in through Zoom. I think it's much safer anyway. Yeah. More accessible to more people who cannot be in LA.
I love that idea. I am so there. I love that idea. So, okay. Yeah. Am I done with the fluff? And did I do an okay job?
Yeah, that's beautiful.
Okay.
Perfect.
Okay, so I'm going to put away the fluff. Did I do good?
Beautiful.
Okay.
Yeah.
Fluff away.
Next, we want to add a little bit of depth and definition. So if you have a slightly smaller fluffy brush, I think the first one you pulled out initially.
Okay, let's see. Any of these are okay?
Yeah, the one on your far left.
On my like little circle one?
Yeah, I like that one. Well, what's the first one?
This one's a flat.
No, let's do the little circular one.
The circular one. Okay. Yeah. And then so what am I going to do with this?
We're going to grab a slightly darker brown than the first one you used.
Got it.
We're going to add more definition to the corners of our eyes to lift them. So right here where your lash line is, you want to start bending it in there. Yeah. And bring it up into your crease. Yeah. There you go.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah. Just the tiniest bit. It'll lift your eye. Everyone wants that fox eye.
Yes, definitely.
Yeah. And then what you can do is go back to your first brush. And without putting any more product on it, just use that to blend it even more.
Okay. So this one is used to blend.
Very softly, yeah. Just the edges.
Okay, just the edge.
Yeah. That's perfect.
This feels so good. Talking about like self-care.
Yeah.
This is like great self-care. Just to like sit
it and is.
Spend you know, time loving yourself like this.
They say your body is your temple. So when you're putting on makeup, you're decorating it, you know? And for a lot of people, you're basically creating a version of yourself that you see yourself as, you know?
Like a different version of yourself.
Right. Yeah, like, for example, a lot of my non-binary and trans friends, they have what we called dysphoria. And so makeup is a way to help them look more like how they want to feel, how they want to present themselves to the world.
How they want to present themselves to the world.
Yeah.
Through makeup.
Yeah. Even makeup, the way we dress, the way we do our hair, you know. Mm-hmm. So it really is self-care. We're doing it for us.
Is that good?
That's beautiful. Yeah, I have a little lift.
Yes. I can see it.
Oh, you're back.
And you're back too. It's so windy. So I don't know how this video is going to look, but we're going to keep trying.
It's okay. Because you know why?
Yes, why?
That's the word of the day. Resilient.
Resilient. Just keep going. Oh, yes. That's
okay. Yeah. That okay. Part.
Yes.
So next, this is the easiest part. We're going to grab your beautiful green shadow that you have.
Yes.
We're going to use our ring finger. We're going to scroll it in there. And we're going to pat it on our lid only, right in here.
Like right in here?
Yeah. That kind of eyeshadow is best applied with our lids.
So I love to do this, like this thing with my finger like this, like on my eye.
Yeah.
And like a lot of people are like, oh my God, don't use your fingers to put your makeup on. I'm like, oh my God, but there's no other way to really get it like that good.
And if it's you using your own makeup, I'm assuming you're washing your hands before you even do your makeup. This should be fine, you know? You just don't want to press too hard in the pan.
It has to be like very light, okay.
Yeah, you just want to scroll, not press too hard, because otherwise you're pressing the pigment further into the pan. Yeah. So that's beautiful.
Very light. Oh, my God. You know how I feel about glitter. Oh, my God. It's like...
I was going to say, you just read my mind that I know you love glitter and shimmer and sparkle.
I do. If every day I could wear glitter, I would wear glitter. But I don't, because I don't do my makeup on a daily, but it's good. Yes, it would be all glitter. Okay.
That looks great. Do you usually wear eyeliner or no? I feel like that's optional.
I don't usually.
I don't think you need it. Because what happens if you wear liner on top, it'll cover up all that beautiful green.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Especially if you're someone that has a smaller lid. It'll just look like black. So I feel like at this point, do you have mascara?
Yes, I do.
Let's do that.
I have mascara.
Curl your lashes usually?
I do. I actually curl. This is what I do every day. Every day, I moisturize, I lip gloss, and I curl. That's like my
let's curl.
And my Wendy, I love curling.
I have a daily routine too where I brush my brows up and I have to curl my lashes. And then I'll just put a little bit of blush across here so I look like I have a little color, like I've been sun-kissed.
Oh, yeah. Yes. I love that. Yeah. There's like something about curling your lashes on a daily where it just makes you feel like you're alive.
Awake.
Right? Like, okay, I'm not awake yet. And then you curl and you're like, okay, I'm awake now.
Exactly. That's how I feel. I have to have my cup of coffee and I have to curl my lashes. And now I'm awake.
Yes. In that order also sometimes, like, I'm like, okay, tea. Okay, I have to curl my lashes. I'm ready for the day.
There you are. There you are.
I'm here. I just kept curling.
Okay.
I'm going to keep curling my lashes. Have you ever curled your lashes with a spoon?
I feel like I might have tried years ago, and I was like, no.
I don't get it. I can't. me da like, unas ñañaras, una decepción. Yeah. Like, I don't know how people, I still don't get it. But yeah. I was asking, because I'm like,
I don't want to even bother, because I had a traumatic experience years ago where I used the cheap plastic eyelash curler, and the handles were so slippery that as I'm curling them, it slipped from my hand and it ripped out all my lashes.
So you were bald for a little bit.
I was.
That is so traumatizing.
You know, I felt like, have you ever seen those cats without hair?
Yes.
That's what I felt like.
for a good 2 months and then they grew out.
Yep. That's how long it takes.
I think that there's like, I can give this advice because I feel like I'm an eyelash curler expert at this point because I love my eyelash curler. If you find yourself a good made in Japan eyelash curler with silicone little pads, those are the best.
Usually the Asian brands are best because the way their eyes are shaped is harder to get in there, so they make them specific for that.
Bias angle. Yeah, I'm all about it. Japanese-made and silicone pads. Okay.
Absolutely.
So, as far as mascara is concerned, I don't see it anywhere around, but, like, I just want to point out that there's been some really good mascaras lately.
L'Oreal.
Oh, really? Tell me about
it. Is that L'Oreal?
No, this is Too Faced. The Better Than Sex, which I love, but I'll say it gets really flaky.
Okay.
And then it's like you're walking around with all these flakes. But then I don't see it. I don't see where it's at. But there's another one. It's like a hot pink.
Yeah.
You know which one I'm talking about? It's like a hot pink. And that one is the best, but I just don't know where it's at. And good old Chanel. The volume.
I will say for most of my work, I tend to use falsies. So I don't always focus on a good mascara as long as it's super dark and waterproof. But I recently tried Hourglass and Huda Beauty. They're amazing.
By the way, the lip gloss, I just love, oh my God, I'm in so love with that brand.
Which one, Huda Beauty?
Yes.
Yeah. And I love their stuff.
Sparkles and everything, I don't know.
So yes.
Pigment and like the consistency of it is so good.
Yeah. Full pigment, full color, a lot of textures, you know, there's mattes, shimmers. Yeah. Yes. I just got this new eyeshadow palette from Huda Beauty. It's like nude color. And one of the colors, it looks clear. And there's little balls of pigment in there. So that clear material is actually like a balm-like texture. And so if you put your brush in there, it'll move around until it touches the little balls of pigment. And then you get color.
Oh, stop! It's
insane. God.
Driving me crazy. Oh my God, I love it. It's just like, and you know, they have these matte, like you mentioned, matte glitter.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That I don't know what other line is doing those. But I'm so in love with it.
Yeah, they have beautiful, like metallic, shimmery lip glosses that I love. They're called lip strobes, I think.
Yes.
Yeah. There's a beautiful pink shade that I know you will love.
I'm in love with it so much. I'm like obsessed. I don't know if I have like the mascara face that people usually talk about, because I'm kind of like a serious face when I put my mascara on. It's kind of like this.
Oh yeah, you don't do it. You're right. Even I go.
So I don't know. Is that okay?
Yeah, that looks beautiful.
Yeah.
Okay. I was gonna say your brows look great. I don't know if we need to do anything to them. But like, I don't know. Do you usually fill them in, or you just brush them up?
Sometimes I'll just do like a little brushing.
Yeah. Okay. I will just do that.
I will just do like a little brush.
Uh-huh.
I don't know, like, I don't know if you went through this, but like when I was younger in school, girls were like, oh my God, Nancy, your eyebrows are so thick. Oh my God, Nancy's eyebrows are so thick. And now I'm like, aha, everyone's paying to get their eyelashes over their eyebrows.
Me, I'm everyone.
Stop. No,
I have
amazing eyebrows. No, that's just
I have full brows.
Yes, you do.
I have full brows, but I do, because I stopped tweezing. But I did, for a while, I was over-plucking them, then I got microblading. Uh-huh. And I still do it because I like for the inside in here to look fuller. It gives you a more masculine, brooding appearance.
Yes.
So I have microblading in here and on the tail of this brow, just because this brow is higher naturally. So I tweak this one from the bottom and fill it in higher on top.
On the top. But that's just for perfection and symmetry.
Yeah.
I know that you have good eyebrows. Natural ones.
You know.
But yeah, I don't know. I was thinking about doing some microblading on my eyebrows. But then I chickened out. I was like, no.
Maybe just try, have you heard of laminating?
Is that like the stencil?
No, and I want to get this done. They perm your brows up and straight, so you don't have to keep brushing them up. They already kind of stay up like this, as if you used clear brow mascara.
Oh,
so all they do is use a perm solution on them, and then they brush them up and put a kind of like a plastic sheet over it while it does its magic. Yeah.
Oh, that sounds interesting. I might do that.
Yeah.
Para eso sí me animo, but I don't know about the microblading. I might.
Yeah, I don't think you need that.
No?
Yeah, okay. Full brows. Yeah.
So that's that.
Yeah. And then next, this is optional. I usually tend to run the same eyeshadow that we first used. You know, that warm color?
Yes.
A little bit on the bottom.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
And for that?
Just a little bit.
Am I using like a flat?
You can use the brush that you used for the darker brown. That's a perfect size. Just kind of wipe it clean a little
bit. A little round one.
Yeah. Okay. I love to do this with people that have dark circles.
Mm-hmm.
If you'll notice, sometimes no matter how much corrector or concealer you use, it'll look a little ashy under the eye.
Mm-hmm.
But you can cover it by using a reddish brown eyeshadow. So I'd rather it look like eyeshadow than ashy, you know?
Oh, I love that idea.
Yeah.
Okay, so what color am I going to be using?
That first color we used, the warm brown,
okay,
just something light. Yes. Yeah, not dark. Just something to add a little warm under the eye.
And where am I adding this?
Right along your lash line, just back and forth. Yeah, perfect.
Am I going all the way in or just like on the tip?
Like maybe 3/4 of the way in. I don't like to go all the way.
Okay.
So this is a softer, you know, softer look. It's not so much about darkness, though. So. Yeah, that looks great.
Got it.
And then you want to wipe the same brush again?
Yes.
Do you have like a shimmery or like a highlighter, like a pale color?
Yes.
Let's pop that on the inner corner of the eye just to make your eyes twinkle. Perfect. Yeah.
I love twinkling eyes.
Same.
Got it.
All right, so next, what we want to do is, so I don't usually do this, but I think for the average person that just doing makeup at home, sometimes we don't know how much bronzer, how much blush, or any of that to put. So it helps to put your lip color first. And then from there, we'll see, oh, maybe I need more color on my face, you know?
Oh, okay. So that's a good idea. So first lip and then anything else, the blush. Are we still baking? Am I baking? No, we're not baking.
We're gonna bake a little bit after, but we're doing things a little backward this time.
Yeah. Let's see.
But we're gonna do a lip.
I'm trying to look for the lip colors that I got specific for this. Where are they? But okay, I don't see them. Okay, so what kind of color lip do you think I should go with?
The thing about this eye is that even though it's green, it's kind of neutral in a way. So you could use any lip color you like. It's fall. We can have fun with it. I know everyone's wearing masks, but, you know, we're home, so.
I know.
I mean, what are the options?
Well, I'm trying to see what happened to my lip gloss. Oh, okay. So I got this color from the Kat Von D. I had to get a little bit of Kat Von D since we're
the KVD vegan beauty.
Mm-hmm. And you know, you gotta represent Latinx makeup. So I thought it would be proper. And so it's called Lolita.
I love that color, Lolita, yes.
That's right? It's like
I have that
color. It's the color. So I don't know if that one's good. And then
it works great with your eye color specifically.
I got the lip injection by Too Faced, which is
Well, I like that the colors you have right now, they're peachy, pinky, rosy. So they'll complement that green on your eye.
Okay.
It's like opposites, contrast. It's beautiful. So let's do the lip liner.
Liner? Is there like a trick to the liner or do we just like...
Yes.
There is?
For the top lip, there is.
Okay. So just do my bottom.
Do your bottom the way you usually do it. The top lip, you know, sometimes it's hard to get the cupid's bow perfectly even. Mm-hmm. So find where the middle of your cupid's bow is and draw a line straight down. Yeah. And then from there, use that as your guideline to kind of draw the top. I've been really into lining slightly outside the lip line. It's a really pretty look.
Yeah, I've been noticing that.
Yeah, it's a trend right now. People want that pouty look in the fox eye.
That was like a look, the outside liner. What I want to say like late 90s. I don't
know. Yeah.
Right?
It was like throughout the 90s for sure. That was the look.
Lip liner.
Yeah, the Latinx would do super, super, almost black lip liner, a frosty pale nude lipstick. Yeah. That's beautiful.
Yeah, okay.
Yes.
This is actually a little bit more orangey than I thought it was.
Yeah, it's a peachy, rosy color.
Peachy rose, okay.
But I like that with this eye color.
It works really well.
Because green and orange are kind of opposite colors on the color wheel.
Mm-hmm.
So they just complement each other really well. Green and reddish orange, yeah. So do you have concealer? I don't think you need concealer, but do you have any?
I do. I have this one, the MAC.
Okay, let's do a tiny bit under the eye. Right up until where we put that eyeshadow. We don't want to cover up that eyeshadow.
So we want to do it underneath, you're saying?
Yeah, just a little bit, like, right here.
Okay. Are we using a brush for this?
Yeah, do you have a brush for it? Oh, actually, you could use the sponge. It would be perfect.
The little sponge?
Yeah. And I like extra coverage in the center of the face, which is why we use concealer, because in pictures we just look more flawless when we have more coverage right through here.
So like right here?
Yeah, that's perfect.
For some reason I always thought that the concealer goes like after the actual liquid makeup. But you could do this.
What, you mean after, before the foundation or after?
Yeah, like I kind of felt like, okay, foundation, and concealer or
concealer? Oh, yeah. You can. I just like to give, you know, that foundation time to set. And if we were to apply the concealer right away, we would have to set it with powder right away as well. And I wanted to wait for that.
I feel like I really like this better because then that way also you're like kind of cleaning up like any little particles from the shadow, right?
Yes. Yeah, because that's the other thing. I'll do foundation, but nothing under the eye. Cause if your eyeshadow might fall there, mm-hmm. you can easily just wipe that off and then you put your concealer. If you want to do your concealer first, it might get stained with the eyeshadow.
Oh, true. True.
So while you still have your concealer kind of fresh on there, we should set that with translucent powder.
Okay. So now do I bring out the milk?
Yes, the milk. You say you got two shades?
Yeah, I got the medium and then I got the light. Just
let's use the light for under the eye.
Light under the eye, okay.
Yeah. Oh, it has a powder puff. Let's use it.
Mm-hmm.
Powder puffs are my favorite thing, and they're underused and underrated.
So do I just pat, pat, pat?
Yeah, just tap in there, and then just look up and press.
I'm always, like, scared because I feel like it's going to be all powdery, but it's okay. It's okay.
Yeah. Because if you look up, you're smoothing out your creases.
Oh, yeah, let's look all the way up in that case.
Okay, that looks great. Now, you say you have a medium shade?
I do.
Is that close to your skin tone or?
I want to say yes. I'm not sure. Let's look. But I do have the MAC. So it's like this. I don't know.
Okay, yeah, that's nice. Is that the loose one?
It's loose powder.
So that's the one we're going to use for baking, right?
Yes.
So this looks perfect.
It's all smoky.
I see it. So before we bake, we should probably... Do you have a fluffy brush for the powder?
Yes.
So let's grab that. We're going to apply the tiniest amount of the translucent powder. Kind of all over the face, but not a lot. Because when we apply our bronzer and blush... We want it to blend seamlessly, and I hope to have a layer of powder under it already. So let me see. Let's use the big fluffy one. Yes, that one's perfect.
Okay.
So the tiniest amount of powder, yeah. The first thing I want to do is pat it on the face.
Is this tiny?
Yeah.
Okay, what do we do?
So we're just going to pat it on the face. Yes.
Here?
Pat, pat, yeah. And the reason you want to do that is because if you start dragging it right away, it might move your foundation.
Oh, okay, so, yes.
So once you set your powder down that way, then you can start swirling it.
Do I do it now on the side?
Yeah. Do that. And a little bit on the center of your forehead. Yes. And then without adding more, yeah, you can do that. Without adding more, you can take that brush and kind of swirl it softly all over. Very softly, yeah. Just to dust off any excess powder, you know?
Oh, it's working. I like that.
Yeah. Now, do you have any bronzer?
Yes.
Bronzer is like one of my favorite parts of makeup.
I love bronzers, but I...
Me too. I don't even use it to make people look tan. I just use it to give the face dimension, warmth. Color, yeah. You know?
I love bronzer. Body bronzer, facial.
See that one of my dreams is to eventually have my own line of bronzer for deeper complexion.
Oh my
god. Those are hard to find. Yeah. But I'll make sure I have a few options for lighter skin as well.
Bronzers are fun.
I'm like, y'all have enough options. We need more bronzer for chocolate girls.
Right? Yeah, we do have a lot of options. It's true.
Yeah.
There needs to be like a more. I just don't, I don't know where to start, like what colors to show you. I'm just going to show you.
See.
So yeah. I have this one from MAC. That's beautiful.
Yeah, that looks great. This one's a good neutral shade.
And then I have this one. It says mineralized. color.
Okay. I see that one. Is that one from MAC as well? Yeah,
it is. The MAC one. And then this one, this is kind of like a, it's a bronzer, but it's called Peach Nectar Illuminator.
Ooh.
From Anastasia.
Anastasia.
It's Anastasia. Okay. So that's beautiful. And then I have loose, I have like a bunch of loose powdered.
Okay. Bronzer. I think for this, let's use the press bronzer. The first one that you showed me was great from MAC.
The first one. Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, and then these are so cute.
Oh, that's so nice. The heart, you love heart-shaped things too.
I do. So that one's good, or do you want me to show you more? Are we good?
I think the first one's great.
The first one, okay.
Yeah. I know MAC makes great bronzer shades. They're never too red or too orange.
No. And
some of them leave more golden, which I like. You know.
Yes, yes, definitely. So this is a good one. Yeah. Kind of a brush.
We need the fluffy brush, which is the second biggest one you had.
The second biggest one I had. Okay, got it. This one.
Yeah, that's perfect. Now, I'm going to swirl it in there.
This one has like glitter, like a glittery. And this one is solid.
Oh.
No glitter, and this one is glitter. They're both MAC.
But. Yeah, I like without glitter. We can add the glitter after.
Okay.
Yeah. So scroll it on there a little bit more.
More?
Yeah, and then what you're going to do is you're going to scroll it in the mirror so that you're working that pigment into the brush bristles more. Yeah.
So like that. Oh, that's it. Good.
Yeah, and then tap it off a little bit, whatever excess. Yeah. We're going to start on your forehead.
Okay.
Now you have a great forehead for bronzer. So what we're going to do, we're going to apply it across the temples, the hairline.
Oh my goodness.
Circular motion. Yes.
I have like a really big forehead. Let's see.
I love big forehead because I get to go ham with my bronzer. Yeah, that looks great. You just go all around your hairline.
All around? Is it like down here too?
Yeah, so a trick I've been doing lately is I like to blend the bronzer on the temples here into the shadow. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
That way it's seamless, the shadow into the bronzer.
Love that.
And then we're going to do that on the cheekbone as well, right in here.
I feel like...
Yeah, there you go. Keep it in there, exactly. That's perfect. And yeah, let's do the other side. And then what you can do is kind of pinch the bristles. I mean, you don't really need nose contour, so we're not going to add more, but just pinch them with your hand and do the side of your nose.
Or should I add these brushes?
Let's do that.
But, and then I do pinch.
Just go down the side of your nose. We're not really contouring. We're just adding dimension. Yeah, beautiful. See, already your skin has beautiful color.
Wow.
That was great.
Okay. I'm putting that away.
Yeah, I love that. Next, we want to do blush. Do you have blush?
Yes.
So I love blush.
I know. So let's see. Blush. Of course, I have all these MAC blushes.
Mm-hmm.
That I just don't. Do you remember MAC Trixie?
MAC what? I'm sorry?
Trixie blush, the color Trixie.
Trixie? No.
They had this color. It was called Trixie. That was my favorite color ever. They don't have it anymore, but
of I still course. Have
a, a little tiny bit, and I just can't get rid of it, and I can't really...
Oh, wow. It's like a plummy bubblegum pink.
Yeah, it has like this shimmer to it that's just so beautiful.
It's so choose for special occasions.
Yes, but then I have, orgasm, because like every girl has to have that
color. I kind of feel like for this look, orgasm is more suitable.
Yeah, and then
what
I
else
have...
What else do we have?
Warm soul. It's like a...
Neutral, brownie, rosy.
Kind of rosy, kind of peachy.
Yes. That's a classic color.
That's a very, yeah, very classic, very nice color. And I have some, I have like these Chanel blushes. Which one is this? This one's called Jersey. Jersey is like a very, I don't know if you can see the color.
I see it. It's kind of rosy.
Kind of rosy. It's kind of like a little bit peachy. And of course I have, oh, and then this is another color. This is a little bit darker.
Yeah. Oh, that's nice too.
This is pretty. This is a
pretty, yeah.
This is a pretty color.
I'm leaning that one and Orgasm so far. Can you have a peachy undertone?
Of both is good, maybe. And then I have this little heart shape. It's kind of like a bronzer, but it's kind of also like a blush. I use it like
a blush. Yeah, that's pretty.
Highlighter. Okay, so what do we do?
I feel like since the lips are more peachy pinky and the eyes are green, a peachy pink cheek will look really great with this.
Mm-hmm.
So I like the Orgasm and I like that second Chanel color you showed me.
Okay. What kind of brush should I use?
Fluffy. We can use the same one as the bronzer. You just kind of wipe it off a little bit.
Yeah. So like the maybe not so big, but kind of like just fluffy like this.
Yeah, because the way I've been doing blush lately and a lot of makeup artists are doing lately is we're bringing the blush higher up, almost close to the eye.
I like that.
Yeah, and really blend it and diffuse. Yeah, because it lifts the face up and it puts the color exactly where you can see it.
Yes.
If we're put the blush on the side of our cheek here, you're not going to see it when we're looking straight on, right?
Yeah, like it, you have to have a good
front. So you need a good fluffy brush like the one you're holding. And then we're going to get this whole area here.
So this whole area right here.
Yes.
Am I doing it with Orgasm? Oops.
Let's do it. Okay. Yes.
Circle, circle, circle.
Yeah, do a little swirl.
Am I doing
it into the mirror? Yeah, that works the pigment into the brushes more. Perfect.
Okay, circle.
Yeah, there you go. Bring it up high. Yeah. And it helps that we already laid down the bronzer so close to the shadow. Mm-hmm. So the blush will blend seamlessly into the bronzer too.
Oh, it is.
Yeah. So all the colors just blended into each other.
Can I do more?
Absolutely.
Oh my God, yes.
Now we're entering that cold weather season where we're all a little more blushy.
Yes, you want to look super blushy. Because it's like
we can even add a pinch on the tip of your nose.
Yes. I love that idea. It's like so cute and youthful. I'm just
Scared.
I don't even know if I'm doing this.
Beautiful. No, you are. I love it. You can, whatever's left on your brush, run it across your forehead where your bronzer is. There you go.
And it just blending or something or?
Mm-hmm. They're blending and adding a little more warmth to that area of your face.
I love that.
Yeah. Beautiful.
I'm gonna have
your skin looks great.
Thank you, really?
Yeah.
Can you say that again, please, Ernie? Thank
your skin looks amazing.
Thank you.
should we try baking for the kids?
Yes.
Let's bring back the loose powder.
Okay. Light or medium?
I'm the light for this, I think.
Okay. Got it. What do we do?
So this is going to be a way to define your cheek contour a little more. Because, you know, we already laid down the bronzer and kind of lift your mouth as well.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know that flat foundation brush you had?
Yes.
That will work for this. We're going to start by laying down some powder from the edge of your mouth out.
Am I doing like a line?
Yeah, but you want to put some down here as well. So lay it flat.
Lay it flat.
Yeah, and then you just keep patting it upwards. But you're doing a line for sure. There you go. That's perfect. And the trick is to let that powder sit there for a little bit.
So it's okay for it to look powdery.
Yeah, we're going to wipe it off after while it bakes. There you go. Yeah, your skin looks great.
Thank you so much. You get women, we get to a certain age and we just want to hear that all the time, by the way.
I love that. Yeah, see how your cheek looks more defined already?
Yes. Oh,
it's
my
God. That contrast. Oh, wow.
I need you, like, I need you on Zoom every morning, by the way.
I'm right here.
Love it.
Perfect. So one more trick for our skin before we wipe off the baking powder.
Mm-hmm.
We need a highlighter.
Okay.
Like
a super light highlighter?
Yes, it's up to you what kind of color you want to use. Something that's going to look great with your skin tone. Even the one in that little heart-shaped box I noticed had a little shimmery side.
The peachy one, you're saying? This one?
Is that too dark? It's hard to tell.
I don't. Let me see.
You can swatch it on your hand. Oh, I love
that.
See
that color there, that half of the heart, is very light. And it's like
champagne?
Yes.
Let's use that. Perfect.
Definitely a champagne. Okay.
So for this one, we're going to grab a brush as well. We're going to add it to the top of our cheeks right here.
So do we want something like somewhat like a blush or like a...
We want it to be fluffy for this.
Oh, fluffy, fluffy.
Yeah. Because if you use a brush that's too dense, the highlight will go on too solid. Yeah, that's great.
Okay.
Yeah. We're just going to dip it in the highlighter. Beautiful. And then the top of your cheeks right here. Yes. That's perfect.
Other side?
Mm-hmm. A little more. And then whatever's left on your brush, mm-hmm. we're going to run through the temples right here of our forehead so we look glowy. Yeah, just right above the eye on each side. You don't want to do the center of your face. We want that to be matte. Otherwise, we'll look oily.
Okay. But this is like nice because it's lifting, right?
Yeah. When you turn to the side, you'll see that glow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, my God.
Okay. Take your ring finger again.
Yes.
Into the highlighter. Very softly. When it go right here. Down the bridge of your nose. Yes. Just make it pop. Beautiful. I love that.
Mm-hmm.
At this point we can wipe off the baking powder.
Okay, and how
the
do
big
we
fluffy brush.
The big fluffy brush.
Remember we used that for powder?
Yes.
Yeah. So we're going to wipe it off softly. Yeah. And then you can go over your whole face and blend all the colors together a little bit. Yeah. Beautiful. And I think final step, I say this for last, would be mascara under your eyes right here. I like to do this last because if we do it right away and then we work with powders, the powders are going to stick to the mascara.
That is a really good, I'm going to take a little bit of this powder off of my blouse.
Yeah.
That's a really good point because really, really good tip and point because that's the reason why I really don't really put mascara on if I'm putting makeup on. Because it's all powdery.
Yeah. So you could do your top mascara last as well, you know? I usually do mascara last for that very same reason. But I will say, even if you do get a little powder on your lashes after applying mascara, once you apply another coat of mascara, it kind of helps to thicken your lashes.
I was going to say, is it okay then now to put a little bit more mascara on my lashes?
Yeah, absolutely. And you were very light-handed with the powder. It's not like you were, you know, applying tons of it.
Mm-hmm.
Beautiful. Now, do you have a setting spray? It's optional.
I do have a setting spray. I have the... I have this other one. Where is it? But I have the Urban Decay All Night.
That's perfect. Let's do that.
Okay.
So we're going to spray it on our face. Not too close.
Like this.
Yes.
Close my eyes. Okay.
Yes. Beautiful. And then what you can do is take your sponge.
My sponge, uh-huh.
And using a clean side of the sponge, kind of press over it, because sometimes we get water droplets from the spray. Beautiful.
I feel like such an expert.
You look great. You do.
Do I? Thank you.
Yeah. And then one last finishing step. You have lip gloss, right?
Yes. Oh, my God. That.
Yeah.
This new one.
Yes. So what we're going to do is apply it only on the center of the lips, like right here. And it'll make your lip look pouty. Yes. And on the Cupid's bow on top. Wow, look at you.
Oh my God.
I'm proud. You look bomb.
Oh my God, I feel so like different and alive and
polished.
Polished and yes.
Yeah. That's a good lip color on you.
This is a good one. I think I'm gonna at least a lip every day.
Yeah, for sure. Look great.
Thank you. You're making me feel beautiful today, and I appreciate it.
Yay. Well, you made me feel seen, and I appreciate that.
I love you, Ernie.
I love you, too. Oh.
Yeah.
When this is all over, can we have dinner?
We're going to we're going to have a long, beautiful dinner somewhere.
Perfect.
We're out in a beautiful restaurant.
A little reunion.
Yes.
Yes.
We're going to do all of this and be like, do you approve?
Maybe I need to come glam you before we have the dinner. I don't know. You tell me.
Yes, of course.
Yes. Perfect.
Well, I'm going to do my closure now.
Okay.
Feel beautiful. Thank you to Ernesto Casillas.
Absolutely.
I appreciate your time and your effort to help me look better. And I feel so good about myself. And I'm going to go take lots of pictures. Thank you very much, Ernesto Casillas, on Instagram, if anyone wants to get in contact with you. And this is Mental Health 411 presenting Emmy Award winning, even though we didn't see your Emmy. Well, I'm gonna snap a picture from your Instagram. I'm going to take it, and I'm going to
put it
so that everybody can see how fabulous you are. And I will be seeing all of you next time. Thank you so much for joining.
Love you.
Mental Health 411. This is Ernesto Casillas. Thank you. Bye.
Bye.
Hey everyone, that was Ernesto Casillas, 2-time Emmy Award winning makeup artist on Mental Health 411. I just want to say thank you, Ernesto, for coming on to Mental Health 411 and sharing so much information with our listeners. I appreciate your time. I am your host, Paloma Collins, and I will talk to you all next time.